In Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, we read this, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Dear radio friends, what are your fears today? Fear is debilitating. When we're afraid, we freeze and we shrink back from what we're called to do in life. Sometimes fear comes because we're suddenly confronted with something that seems threatening. Other times fear comes because of a memory or an imagination that we have which makes us afraid. Are you fearful because of your sin? Does your sin make you want to hide from God, from the judgment of God? Are you fearful because of the power of sin and you're afraid that it may overcome you? Or is it perhaps the future that makes you afraid? Tomorrow is unknown. The future is unpredictable. There are dark roads ahead. Will you be able to have the strength to persevere? Or maybe it's the fear of something in your past, something terrible that has happened to you, and the thought of it and the memory of it or the thought of it happening again makes you shudder. Or there are relational fears, the fear of being alone, or the fear of losing a loved one that you have. Perhaps it's your responsibilities that make you afraid. Will you ever have the strength to go on and to get through what lays before you in life? Fear not ye, Jesus is risen. That's the word of the angel in the text today. On the morning of Jesus' resurrection, a group of five or so women came to Jesus' tomb, and the message that the angel met them with was, "Fear not." Who were these women, and what were their fears? Throughout his ministry, these are the women that had been very close to Jesus and followed him and his disciples and ministered to his daily needs. Among them was Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast demons, and also Jesus' mother and his aunt and other close relatives. Just a few days earlier, these women had witnessed the trial of their beloved Savior and friend. They heard him condemned to death. When he was led away to be crucified, they followed at a distance, and they stood far off, listening while the hammers pounded the nails through their master's hand and feet. They listened to the voice of the mocking crowds. They heard the cries of Jesus from the cross. Through the 3 hours of darkness, they lingered, and then they watched as the soldiers came to break the legs of those who had been crucified. And shortly after this, they witnessed Nicodemus and Joseph coming down, taking down the body of Jesus, and they follow to see where Jesus was laid. That was Friday afternoon. Saturday was the Sabbath, so they stay home. Now it's early Sunday morning, dawn, as the day is breaking, and they come to finish the work of burying their Savior and bring with them spices which they will use to anoint the body of their beloved Lord. What is it that moves them to come? And to come so soon. Certainly it's love. They loved this one. You see this in the anointing of Jesus' feet just a week prior to this by one of these women. Simeon the prophet had said to Jesus' mother, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." This is the experience of the love of these women. And so they couldn't sit around. They're moved with love to take this initiative and to go out to complete the burial of the Lord. And yet what courage they had, and that's explained by their faith. A Roman guard was at the tomb. A stone was in front of the mouth of the tomb. And yet, here they go, with courage and commitment. And that's because of their faith in the one who had died. Yes, they were confused and their faith was weak, but how they loved and trusted in this one. We can understand a little bit of how they felt and what they experienced at this time too, how sad they must have been. The one who had died was not just a close friend, but this was their leader. This was the one in whom they had put their hopes. How confused they must have felt. Later in this day, the two travelers on the road to Emmaus expressed their confusion to Jesus himself, and these women must have had the same confusion. And how fearful they must have been about some things. What now will happen to the followers of Jesus? They put him to death. What will they do to us? And now the earth trembled, and there was an angel present. This wasn't the same kind of fear that the keepers had who became as dead men, and yet this added to their confusion and their fear. What a mixture of emotions they must have had this morning. And then we see them come to the tomb, and we see the grace of God come to them. In the miracles first. Why does God send miracles? Why does he send these miracles at the time of Jesus' resurrection? It's to confirm the truth of the resurrection. An earthquake. How appropriate that an earthquake should come to shake the place where Jesus had been buried, to shake the earth. He was declared by the resurrection to be the Son of God with power, we read in Romans 1. And that's what the earthquake signified. And the open tomb. The open tomb was not so that Jesus could get out of the tomb after he was raised from the dead. No, he was able in his glorious body to pass through walls. The open tomb was to show that the tomb was empty. And then grace in the heavenly messenger and what he says as well. There was an angel when they came. He came with a message of grace to these women. Look at his words. Fear not ye. That's personal. That's addressed to these women. He knows that they're fearful and that they're afraid and they're confused. And so God sends this messenger. Don't be afraid. Yes, the Jews and the leaders of the Jews should be afraid. Yes, the soldiers should tremble and become as dead men. But you, don't be afraid. He continues, don't be afraid, for I know that ye seek Jesus. He knows why they have come. How does the angel know this? It's because God has told him. God knows why they have come. God knows their fears. And what a messenger. Sometimes angels would come in the form of a man, disguised as it were. But this one, verse 3 tells us, had a face that was like lightning. It was like the face of Moses who had seen God. His raiment was white like snow, holy because he had come from the presence of God. There was no mistaking. This was a heavenly messenger. And they spoke with him. They had conversation with him. The keepers trembled. How remarkable. These women talked to him. This was a part of their courage. And it was because they wanted to see Jesus. And so the messenger continues, I know that ye seek Jesus. What sympathy in those words. Sympathy is to enter into the experience of another. God knows. The Son knows. The angel knows what these women feel. And God uses all the resources of heaven which are at his disposal to come and to minister to these needy women. He knows their love, their faith, their zeal, their fears, their anxieties, their confusion. He's touched with the feeling of their infirmities. He says, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. How those words must have jarred these women. After someone has been through a painful experience, we want to be very careful in the way that we speak to them. If someone's going through cancer, we don't want to talk about the disease of cancer and how difficult it can be. Or if someone's been in a car accident, we want to be careful. How jarring these words must have been to the fresh wounds that these women had. You see, Jesus, which was crucified, this calls to their mind the awful experience that they had witnessing the death, the horrific death of Jesus Christ. But the angel can do that because he has a message which is the answer to exactly this fear and this experience. I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here. Luke adds that the angel explains those words this way. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen. Why seek the living here in the place of the dead? He's risen. That word, or that verb form, has the idea of someone who has entered into a permanent state of being. He is risen. A constant change has taken place. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that. He entered into his glorious state, and he continues in that state, and it was the power of God triune that raised him from the dead. He was raised with power. The Bible explains the resurrection from three points of view, that the Father raised his Son from the dead, that Jesus himself arose from the dead, and that he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. What an immense miracle was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All the resources of the divine being are involved in this great work. There are only a few other miracles in the scriptures that are described this way. The creation in the beginning. The Father created. The Son was the Word by whom he created. And the Spirit moved on the face of the waters. Or the virgin birth of Jesus. The Holy Ghost would come upon the Virgin Mary, and she would conceive and bring forth one who would be called the Son of God, or the work of salvation in a similar way. And that's the importance of this event. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is as important as creation, as important as the incarnation, as important as the work of salvation. This is central in the gospel. This is the gospel that the New Testament church preaches. He is not here, for he is risen. And then the angel adds one more thing to the women. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. This is a reminder to them of what Jesus had promised before his death. We might have expected the angel to rebuke them, and instead this is a message of comfort and encouragement to these women who are so confused and afraid. There's a mildness. Their unbelief is rebuked, but forgiven. And Luke tells us in Luke 24, verse 8, that at the angel's word, these women remembered what Jesus had said. And then the angel, having spoken this beautiful message, invites these women to come. Come, he says, see the place where the Lord laid. Matthew doesn't give us any more detail than this. He wants the emphasis to fall on this, that the tomb was open and empty. Come, see the place where the Lord laid. He is not here. He's risen. And the empty tomb is the proof to these women that Jesus is risen from the dead. And notice one thing here in what the angel says. Come see the place where the Lord laid. Lord is a name that refers to sovereignty and to rule. It refers to Jesus as the one who has the victory, who has overcome, who exercises dominion. The one who is our Savior. And the one who is the Christ is also our Lord, and this is especially his resurrection title. The angel calling him Lord means he has overcome the grave, and he rules over sin and death. Later in this day, the disciples will proclaim to each other, "The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed." When Thomas a week later sees Jesus, he will say, "My Lord and my God." You see, this name emphasizes that Jesus has the victory, and what a victory it was. Perhaps you've stood at a cemetery before. It's a somber place. I've stood at cemeteries, at gravesides, with beloved believers, and we've wept together. It's a quiet place. But here, the angel speaks with a thundering voice, and he says, "Come, come on a grand tour of this cemetery, of this grave, and I'll show you something marvelous. He's not here. He's risen." Luke indicates that there was more than one angel, that in fact when the women came into the tomb, they saw a second angel. John tells us that these angels sat one at the head and one at the foot of the place where Jesus laid. And John also gives us the details of the place where he laid, the eyewitness account of Peter and John and what they saw in the tomb, the clothes lying wrapped together as they had been around the body of Jesus, and then the linen cloth folded separately and showing the care and the personal touch of the Savior. Perhaps these women who knew Jesus so well knew his habits and would see this personal touch. This was not a pile of clothes that someone had hurriedly gotten out of, but carefully the Savior had folded this napkin and laid it aside. This is what they saw. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And they hurried back to the disciples with the message of the resurrection of the Savior with joy in their hearts. And you see, that message that the angel gave was the end of their confusion and the end of their fear and their anxiety. And so it is for us today. In all our fears, in all our confusion, in all our anxiety, in all our questions, this is the hopeful message that the angel brings. Fear not ye, he's not here, he is risen. Think about your fears. What are they? Is one of them your sin? If you have a true sense of your sin and a true sense of the majesty and the holiness of God, and even a real understanding of the reason that Jesus had to die and the price that he had to pay for sin, well, of course, then you will fear before God. There is the fear of what sin deserves. But the resurrection answers these fears. It tells us that Jesus Christ paid the full price for our sins. Because he's risen, we are forgiven. His resurrection is the testimony to us today that all of our sins are gone. In the resurrection, God himself put the amen on all of Jesus' work. He said in his suffering at the very end, it is finished. Now in the resurrection, God says, as it were, it is finished indeed. 1 Corinthians 15 puts it this way, in the negative, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. But now is Christ risen. You are not in your sins yet. Your faith is not vain. The point is that the price has been paid for sin. The victory has been won. We do not need to hide from the wrath of God, but Jesus Christ has paid the price. Or perhaps it's your sins from this point of view, the fear of being overwhelmed by the power of remaining sin in your life or the temptations of Satan and the world around you. The resurrection means we don't have to be afraid. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's given us new life, life in which there's victory and strength and perseverance. And just as Jesus himself has entered into the permanent, glorious state of his resurrection, so he will do for us. And the good work that he has begun in us, he will perform till the day of Jesus Christ. Fear not, he is risen. Or there are other fears that we have, the fears of the unknown future. Fears because of health, or financial struggles, or politics, or the affairs of the nations. Fears because we have children and we worry about their future in the end times. Fears because we know that the Church of God will face persecution in the future. Perhaps there's even this fear that you have something that's good, and you love it, and you hold to it very tightly, and you fear that you'll lose it. Jesus knew that. He said to his disciples, take no thought for the morrow. He's saying in that the Father has sovereign rule over all the affairs of your life in the future. And we know that now because Jesus is risen from the dead. And as the one who's risen from the dead, he has been given this dominion and this power over all things. Everything in the present is in his hands. Everything in the future is in his hands. And the hands of Jesus are good hands and loving hands and strong hands. Ephesians 1 verses 20 and following, it's talking about the power of God and the demonstration of that power. And then it says this, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That means for the advantage of the church. Jesus rules over all things as the resurrected, ascended Lord in his glory, for the sake of his church. Fear not. I think of the words that Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 12 and verse 32. And he's speaking to them, representative of the church. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He describes the church in the world there as defenseless, a little flock, sheep, small. Fear not, he says. The Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. And how does the Father give the kingdom? He does it through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Or perhaps there is for you the real fear of death and the grave, the prospect of death. Believers, as believers, we don't necessarily have a fear of the judgment, but the experience of death itself is fearful. Disease, old age, and there's nothing so painful as the tearing apart of our existence, the breaking apart of body and soul. Perhaps in your sickness you imagine your own death and you tremble at the thought. Fear not. That's the message of the angel. Jesus is risen. We don't need to be afraid of death. Jesus entered into the grave and all the suffering of death to transform it, to make it a place of rest, to make death a servant that will bring us into the glory of the presence of God. And death is described in Scripture as sleeping, sleeping in Jesus with hope. We fall asleep in Jesus in the hope of the bodily resurrection, seeing death as a transition into the very presence of God. And so this is the victory note of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fear not ye, He is risen. That's the end of all our fears. You can take any fear that you have and look at it through faith in Jesus Christ and be able to overcome that fear. And so today, as we confess that Jesus is risen from the dead and remember this on this Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, let's stand by faith at the tomb of Jesus and hear the voice of the angel. Fear not ye, He is not here, for He is risen. Let's tour the tomb by faith and see it empty, and see the empty grave clothes, and see Jesus risen, victorious. He has overcome. He's overcome the grave. He's overcome sin. He's overcome Satan. He is Lord of all. He will overcome every obstacle. He's able to save to the uttermost. And He will bring us in the end to glory. Don't be afraid. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the wonder and the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fill us with an assurance that because He is Lord over all, we don't need to be afraid, but all things are in His hand for our sake. And so we pray that we may have this confidence as we look forward, and even as we face the prospect of death ourselves, to know the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. We ask it for His sake. Amen.